You need to start being an outward, bold witness, doing what God commanded you and me to do as His children. We have done a lousy job in the church. Have we done a lousy job? When I say that, I can think here, I'm coming up on my 71 years here in the very near future. And I think about it, I've been a Christian since I was 11. And until I was in my 40s, I never, and I was in church every time the door was open. I never saw the power of God demonstrated in nothing. I never saw nobody healed. I never saw any miracles. I never saw any answers to prayer with nobody in the church. I never saw testimonies. People get up and say, Jesus did this for me. I didn't hear it. It wasn't there. How many of you have been raised up in a church like I was raised up in? There's something wrong with this picture. Because the King I serve, He does miracles here. Jesus Christ shows up here. He heals people, multitudes of them. Thousands of them have been healed. Hundreds of miraculous healings. And somebody told me a while ago, I listened to your CD about that doctor out in Salt Lake City, Utah, when you prayed for him over a cell phone that he had his lower back crushed, and God instantly gave that man a brand new back over a cell phone. When's the last time you saw Jesus do something like that for you? You know, we all should be seeing God do those kind of things for us. You know that? Is He a respecter of persons? No. What does He honor? Faith after what? Obedience. He wants you to walk in love. Obey me, He says. Walk holy in my presence. And then He says, come to me in faith and ask for anything and I'll do it for you. And He means everything He says in His word. Now then, we don't believe this. Then let's go to Isaiah 45, 5 through 8. Isaiah 45, 5 through 8. I want you to see what the scripture says here in Isaiah 45, 5 through 8 in the King James. Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Now, how many people has He girded? How many of you are here because God put you here? Every one of you. How many do you think on this earth that don't know Him? Most of them don't know Him. But He made them. Did God make every human being that's on this earth today? Yes. Does He run your life? Yes, He really does. He's in control. He's in control. Although you don't know Him, He is still directing your path, trying to get you where He wants you to be. And He'll bring you to a place someday where it'll be almost impossible for you to deny Him as Lord and Savior. And I remember the story about Stephen. Now, there was I listened to this on the James Dotson show. How many of you heard of Dr. James Dotson? Isn't he a great man of God? Yes, absolutely. He's doing great things for the kingdom and for the family. We need a lot of good men like his organization. I strongly recommend that if you don't support Dr. James Dotson's ministry, you start, because he is a good man with a great ministry for the family. And I love him, and I support him out of this ministry. We send him money regularly to support his ministry. And then he sends us emails keeping us informed about what's going on in Washington. He's got people that are up there paying attention to what we're doing and what they're doing to ruin the family. And Dr. James Dotson says, the president that we have now, with the administration we have now, they have done more devastating things to the family than all other administrations since the beginning of the United States of America. Now, that's pretty sad, wouldn't you say? That's sad that those things are happening. But anyway, where was I? What, I was off on a track and I was going somewhere and I got on another track and forgot where I was. Do what?
Stephen.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. That brought me back on track. Yeah. Stephen, when I think about how God girded us, some of you may have never heard of this guy, Stephen, but in about 1980, he was the number one murder and rapist in America. The number one killer. He stalked young women to kill them, to rape them, and then murder them. And he hit Stephen, what's he saying? Moran or something like that. Anyway, one day I think it was in a Kmart shopping center just before Christmas in about 1980 or something like that, there was a precious little lady that had been shopping, and she was going home, and she goes out and gets in her car, and just as she opens the door, she feels somebody put a gun in her back and says, "Get in, scoot over, sit down, put your hands under your thighs, and don't say a word or I'm going to kill you." It was Stephen. The little girl got in, scooted over, and Stephen got in beside her, and she reached over and put her hand on his shoulder and said, "You're not in control here, mister. I am, in the name of Jesus." Now, was that a normal woman? Oh, some of you girls are shaking your head like, "Well, now what's the difference between this woman and all other women?" This woman had committed to memory the entire book of Ephesians, only 6 chapters, but she knew who she was as a daughter of the King. She knew her power and her authority. And Stephen looks over at her and says, "You're not a normal woman." And she says, "No, I'm not a normal woman because I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. And he loves you, and he wants you to accept him as Lord and Savior." So anyway, they go through the whole day. He's driving her car. He goes to the bank, asks her to, she said, "I need some money." She said, "Good, go by the bank and I'll get you some." So she goes through the drive-thru and puts it there, gets him some money, gives it to him. And, I mean, she said, "But, you know, Jesus loves you, Stephen. He wants you to be his son." And all day long, she's talking to this boy, this man, this number one killer. I mean, in the wee hours of the morning before, he had just brutally raped a young woman and totally killed her and dismembered her body. And here this woman is, and she has no fear whatsoever. Do you think this woman might have really understood the Word of God just a little bit? Yeah, she really did. So anyway, they go through the day, and she says, "Stephen, do you have a son?" "Oh, yes." She said, "Do you love him?" "Oh, yes." She said, "Well, you know, Jesus loves you like that, only much more. And he wants you to come into the kingdom and be his son. He'll forgive you for everything that you've ever done." He's driving down the road with a gun, his aunt, and all of a sudden, she sees him looking at something. He pulls off to the side of the road, opens the gun, pours the shells out, hands it to her and said, "God, I surrender." And she said, "What happened?" He said, "I heard a voice say, 'Stephen, this is your last chance. If you don't accept me now, you're going to die and go to hell.'" He heard that. So he stopped, took the bullets out of the gun and handed it to her and said, "I surrender." And so she says, "Now then, I'm going to lead you to Jesus." And he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Turned himself in without a shot being fired. They sent him to Huntsville after the trial, and they condemned him to death. Just the day that he was fixing to die, the warden says, "I cannot believe that this man is this number one murderer and rapist." He said he's one of the best prisoners we've ever had. Now then, what made the difference? What happened to him? He became a new creature in Christ, didn't he? What happens when you become a new creature in Christ? Well, now then the devil is trying to get Stephen to believe that this is not real. It comes to the day he's going to be executed. And the devil said, "See, you fool, if you hadn't have turned yourself in, you could still be alive." He said, "Lord, if you're really real," he said, "please, Lord, let that woman that led me to Christ, let her be standing in the hallway when I go down that glass corridor for them to kill me." What is this? Oh, Margie Mayfield, Spiritual Warfare. Okay, we have CDs of this story. If you want to hear this story, we got CDs over there called Margie Mayfield, Spiritual Warfare. You can hear this story in detail if you want one. They're over there. We'll give you some. But anyway, there was a lady, after he prayed that prayer, there was a lady that come to Margie and said, "Margie, they're going to execute Stephen tomorrow. Let's go down and see him as he walks down the hallway." She said, "Oh, no, I could never do that." And she said, "Come on, let's go." And finally she said, "Okay." Now, after he prayed, God moved on the heart of another woman. And that woman went to Margie and asked her if she would go up to Huntsville with her to see him walk down the corridor. Because, see, he knew what was going on in Stephen's heart. He knew how the devil was trying to deceive him. Maybe Jesus is really not real. I mean, he's a brand new Christian. He's only been a Christian for a very short period of time, only a matter of a year or two, whatever it was. He's been waiting for his death. And when he comes down that corridor and he walks down that glass, when he looks standing right at the end of that glass hall before he makes that turn to go sit in that chair where they're going to kill him, guess who he sees? The woman, Margie Mayfield. And he looked and he said, God, I said, if you're real, let that woman be standing in that glass corridor where I can see her. He said, Lord, I'm fixing to come home. I'm going to be home with you in a few minutes. I have no fear. Now, see, he had been the number one murderer and rapist in America. How many of his sins had God forgiven? Oh, isn't it, oh, we serve an awesome God? And he was executed, and he got to go home to be with Jesus. I think about how merciful and gracious our King is. Isn't he awesome? He is awesome. He's beyond our wildest dreams, what he'll forgive us of. But once we become a child of God, there is some requirements that he requires. And many of us don't know these requirements. So let's go ahead here. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 7 and 8. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I was listening to two preachers on radio the other day, and they were talking about, you know, all the evil that's in the world, if we could ever figure out where evil comes from. And I thought, guys, you guys are two preachers. Don't you read the book? Evil comes from God. He creates it. But see, we don't think like that. God couldn't create evil. Of course he can. Of course he will. Why does he bring evil in? Because of sin. He brings evil in because of sin. Does he say? Somebody said, no, I don't believe this sermon. I ain't going there with you. Okay, just don't believe what I say. The scripture says in Isaiah 45:7, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and I create evil. If you walk in obedience to God's word, he says, I will make even your enemy be at peace with you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Best Benefit Package is Jesus, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.